Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here as always with the man in the chair, the captain, responsible for just taking away an offer from I don't know what to call it. Jack Barry, the captain.
Recruiter issues.
Jack troubles. He gets on and he's like, dude, you know what I just had to do? I'm like, no, what? He's like, I just had to rescind an offer to a candidate. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
It was not fun.
There's a very short list of things, and we won't go into it, but there's a short list of things that will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So fun meeting,
not
buddy.
Fun.
Other than that, how was your Lord's Day?
I was in the woods on the Lord's Day.
You were worshiping in the woods. Did you join a cult, Jack?
No, I didn't join a cult. No, we were camping actually with another family that has a small child as well too.
Nice.
In Potlatch State Park.
Where is that?
I think it's north of Shelton, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. I know where Shelton's at. So, okay. Well, you're way out there.
Yeah. We were way out there.
Yeah.
So,
nice. Yeah. All right. How was that? Was that fun, though?
It was raining.
Yeah.
That wasn't necessarily as fun. We did have a good tent.
That's good.
That's good.
Otherwise, it's miserable.
Yeah. They had a legit tent. So,
yeah.
We got to stay in it, had our blow up mattress in there.
Awesome.
Basically could stand up in this tent. I think the clearance on it was like 8 feet or something like that. So
nice. So. Nice. Yeah. No, my Lord's Day was good. I have the last of a whole bunch of membership interviews that we've done over the last couple of weeks. I've got the last one after we record here. Dude, I want to like plug our young adults ministry. I'm so excited because like 3 out of the 4 new members that we're bringing into the church.
Yeah.
This go around are part of the young adults ministry, dude.
Wow.
And through the teaching, through obviously, all the other aspects of being part of a local church, they've come to the conviction that church membership is biblical and right. And dude, get to baptize a few of them. I'm excited. I feel like a proud father.
Yeah, that was actually so. I feel your sentiment because I think the last time we had a big members meeting, and last like towards Christmas.
Yeah.
Two of the families that became members, basically, the husband and the wife of both these families, were from my community group.
Yeah,
I'm like,
dude,
who else is getting people in here? Who else is getting people in here?
I know.
You feel like the salesman that you just cashed in on the cash cows. It's a great feeling, man, to see,
especially those that's been a longer road than others, you know, and you see that finally culminate in them wanting to join the church. There's no feeling better. It's the best. It's the best. Well, Jack, we're going to continue on with our local church. Liturgy series. But before we do, everyone knows what time it is. It's time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your instant grams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
It is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instant Grams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. Jack, do you think the people know that that's my voice? That I did that?
Do you think the people know? I hope they do, because I saw Josh actually record that on
Jack
the spot.
Jack was witness, dude.
It was a feat. It was a feat of impressiveness.
I love this series. Jack, man, I have two to show you. I have been going around all day in my head which one to show you first. I think I'm going to, and I think I've got it figured out, right? This, Jack, you're about to see why it's important to have liturgy. Right, I feel like we just kind of keep coming back to this. Right, I'm about to show you something. There's some churches getting up into some shenanigans in their Lord's Day service. Okay, but this one is one that I can honestly say, and I've been in the game for a little bit, I have never seen before.
Okay. Dude, okay. You missed it because Kev on stage, local Tacoma resident, Kev on stage, who lives in LA now,
was
commenting on this. He's like, "What y'all doing?
Yeah.
What y'all doing in church?
Yeah,
stop doing this."
So for those who aren't watching on YouTube, who are audio only, what we have here is who I'm assuming is the speaker of the day, because he's got the Britney Spears mic, right? He's got on some tight jeans. All right, he is balancing on his forehead a very large wooden cross.
Yep.
Okay. With his arms like stretched out, right? Kind of left to right, you know? And he's sitting there as the worship music is playing and they're being very emotional. And he's sitting there doing a balancing act with the cross. That's normally on probably the wall that's, in the back, right? He's sitting there balancing it. And what gets me, okay, first thing is I don't think this is what Jesus meant when he said, take up your cross.
Oh, no.
Okay. I don't think this was exactly, I don't think this is how we should interpret that verse. Okay. Two observations. I mean, I have many observations. The two main ones are, one, people are clapping. I don't understand. They're clapping. They're obviously very excited. This is obviously a crescendo moment in the service, whether it be like he just made some big point. It's the end of the sermon or whatever he did. Like, this is obviously like, and now it in his notes, and then, you know, point three, balance the cross on your face. Okay.
A
few moments later. So my question is, like, people are clapping, which is crazy. Okay. Two, what illustration would this fit in? I have been racking my brain all day trying to figure out a way to fit this illustration of balancing the cross on my face into a sermon. I've got nothing.
Don't do it, Josh. Don't even try to go down that road. It'll just cause you headaches.
Yeah.
Possibly ulcers.
Yeah.
Possibly acid reflux. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Don't, and probably it. A kinked neck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe I got to reach out to our listeners. You guys got to help us out in the comments. What illustration could this be? what's the point that he's driving home here with balancing the cross on his face? I truly drop it in the comments. I want to hear. I want to hear. Okay. Last one, Jack. You know how we always talk about how you missed out on Christian culture growing up, right?
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But something that I missed out on was secular culture because of how I was raised. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So something that I was not allowed to engage in as a child was Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Dude.
All right. Pokemon. But thanks be to heaven above that there have been some heroes that have taken the evil, demonic, Satan-centered Pokemon theme, and we have redeemed it.
What? I wanna be like Jesus Christ, like no one ever does. To live by him is my real test, to please him is my cause. I will travel across the land, preaching far and wide, to make the people understand and let Jesus live inside. Jesus Christ,
gonna send them on me.
I'm my destiny. Jesus Christ, oh, you're my best friend. You'll never leave me till the end. Jesus Christ, our heart's so true. The Holy Spirit will pull me through. You teach me and I serve you. Jesus Christ.
Oh. That last note was something special.
A little rough there. A little rough
What do you think about that, though? We've redeemed it. The Christians. Dude, this is what post-mill is all about. This is post-mill, right? We have taken the word. We have redeemed it. All right? Jesus sees this, and he's like, you know what? A little bit more of this, and I'll be right down.
Okay. No. How about no and no?
My goodness.
Funny though. I mean, there are moments like this kind of fire, like that, where it's like, okay, that's kind of fire. And then there's others just like, okay, that's kind of cringe also too.
Oh, so yeah. It's like yeah. The whole thing. It's the best. Anyway, all right, everybody, that was, don't forget to eat your Instagrams as always. Please send us your submissions for this segment. We truly love it. And it's quickly becoming probably my most favorite segment that we've done on the podcast. True. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah.
But Jack, my friend, it is time to hop into our topic today. We're continuing our series in the local church liturgy, and today we are talking about singing and reading the word.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as we have discussed these past couple weeks, when we talk about a liturgy, the order of service, the work of the people within the Lord's Day service, right, we want that regulated by Scripture. We want that to follow what we would call the regulative principle. And in layman's terms, what that means is that we worship the way that God has dictated and commanded that we worship in his word. And that involves different elements of worship, right? So there's the regulative principle and the normative principle. Jack and I would fall on the regulative side, and that we believe that it needs to be, you know, it's in the phrase regulated, right? The normative on the other side would be, it's a little bit more free. It's open. That's where you start seeing, you know, crosses being balanced on people's faces, things like that, right? That would fall on the more normative side of our understanding of the Lord's Day service. But two of the very important and often overlooked aspects of the Lord's Day service is music and reading of the word.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of emphasis, and rightly so, placed when we talk about the regulative principle. There's a lot of emphasis placed on the things that we should not do, the things that are verboten, right? That we should not allow into the Lord's Day service. And again, rightly so, we need to understand what those things are. But I think there needs to be an even greater discussion an emphasis placed on the things that we should be including within the Lord's Day. And this discussion is one that I'm really excited about because these are two very special things that I enjoy, especially within the Lord's Day service. It's one of my favorite times when we as a congregation lift our voices in unison to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord in song, in singing. Right? Because the point of the Lord's Day service is, as we discussed, I think it was last week, is to worship God. And through the worship, the people are edified. So today we're going to talk about singing the word and reading the word. So, yeah. Jack, one of the things that we should understand as God's people when having this discussion, especially when it comes to specifically music and singing within the Lord's Day service, is that it's commanded. Mm-hmm. It's commanded by God. And we actually have commands by the Lord to include music within our services. You got a couple scripture references for us, don't you?
Yeah.
Why don't you hit us with those?
In true Hebrew Israelite fashion.
Hebrew Israelites.
You remember how they
Where's your space suit?
Oh yeah, my cosplay isn't here, but
it's not here.
I can get on. Yeah. I can get on top of my box and
there you go.
Okay, hit him with it. Hit him with the scripture.
Yeah, exactly.
So in Colossians chapter 3:16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And then Ephesians 5, verse, what was that, 18?
19, I believe.
19, okay. So this is the second half of "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart."
Yeah, yeah. And the greater context of both of those verses is letters that the Apostle Paul is writing to the local churches, right? Yeah. And him instructing them in the practice of worshiping the Lord. So something to understand when it comes to music, specifically as it's integrated into the Lord's Day service, is music is something that the Lord loves. It's something that he created. It's a gift that he gave to his people. I often equate music with having, I would say I often attribute something to music that it has, and I'm sure everyone's felt and experienced this. There's something about music, Jack, that has the ability to speak truths that we cannot put into words, and to express things that we are not able to express in the limited vocabulary that we have. Right now, again, I'm not going full charismatic and, you know, creating like this. It's this worship language, right? That is the language of angels. It's not a speaking in tongues thing, right?
Yeah.
But I do believe, because of the great emphasis that God places on music, I mean, look in the Old Testament, it's filled with it, right? Mm-hmm. Music is something very special, and it's something very powerful, and it's a gift that God has given to his people, ultimately for his glory and for the worship of him, for sure. But also, Jack, especially those of us that are musicians or are very, I would say, musically inclined, enjoy listening to a lot of music, I can attest to the power that music has to invoke things in my heart and in my mind that sometimes mere words do not have the ability to do.
Yeah.
And that is something that I think when we remove that from the Lord's Day service, we are removing a very special, an important aspect of worship that the Lord intentionally commands his people to have because the effect that it has on his people. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not a experiential, right, emotion-driven understanding.
Yeah.
But as you and I have confessed before, Jack, if we engage in worship without emotion, if it does not create emotion in us, then we're most likely engaging in worship in one way or one form incorrectly, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that it just so yeah, I think that the songs, I think there's two ways that you can look at it. The songs in and of themselves will produce an emotion out of you, which is praising, thanksgiving, or the song is emotionally loaded to try and do that in order
very
for
different things.
Invoke something, right?
Yes.
So there's a very big difference, and maybe this will segue into something as well too, but there's a very big difference when you sing like a Geddes song, right? So they're hymn writers. Is it Paul and Kristen Getty? I think it is.
Keith and Christine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So close enough. There's a big difference when you sing something one of like their songs, right? That has some emotion to it.
Sure.
Versus a Bethel song, which is all about eliciting some sort of emotion, I think, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That is a fantastic segue. Is, you know, one, you know, we just covered music is commanded, right? It's kind of our first heading there. It's commanded by the Lord. I would say secondly, and Jack just basically surmised it, music, especially within the context of the Lord's Day, it has to be rooted in truth. And Jack is very correct. There's a difference between the music itself, the words, the truth, the melody, creating an emotional response because of the truths that it is preaching to your soul and how your soul is ministered to by those things. There's a difference between that and the song or the music being written or performed with the intention of creating or eliciting an emotional response.
Yeah, loading the deck with emotion versus letting emotion just naturally come forth whatever when it's played. Yeah.
Exactly. And when we engage with music in the Lord's Day, we have to, those of us that would lead the congregation in singing, or those of us that are in charge of, you know, picking the songs, or you know, whatever, wherever you are kind of in that structure, we have to be very careful that not only is our music rooted and grounded in truth, but it preaches truth. We have to have a correct understanding and motivation for why we are playing and singing what we play and what we sing. And what it's for, what does it preach? What does it say about God? What does it say about man? What does it say about the gospel? And this is a big reason why Jack and I, and I mean, you can go back, I don't know, probably 100 so eps at this point and see an episode that Jack and I did specifically on Bethel and Hillsong music.
Yeah.
This is why we're not fans of it. This is why, you know, our particular church, us at Redeemer, we won't sing or utilize songs that come out of the Bethel camp or the Hillsong camp, or there's another one that's really big right now that I can't remember.
Some Maverick City music,
something like that, what's Ferdix, that one, Elevation right?
Church,
right? Elevation which worship. And here's the thing, right? Let's be very clear and very honest. Those people have very talented musicians, right? They're good at what they do, but what they do is not good.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that their music is so popular these days is because I believe it is written with the intent not ultimately to speak truth, but the ultimate, but ultimately to create a feeling and an experience within the church. And that is not the purpose of music. Yeah. That is not the purpose of singing.
Yeah.
It is primarily, ultimately, to bring God glory, but it is to preach truth. And I think, Jack, what would help with this is when we talk about the word being central to our liturgy, and everything we do within the Lord's Day service is word centered. Often when we talk about music, that emphasis isn't placed on it. Music exists almost in its own little corner sphere, right? But when there's a reason that I do my best not to just call it worship, because the entire Lord's Day is worship, right?
Yeah.
I like the phrase singing the word, because that's ultimately what we are supposed to be doing, is it not?
Yeah, or worship. Yeah, worship in song or word.
Yeah, great. Yes. You. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something
yeah.
along those.
That's fine. I mean, I just don't like it semantics. When the only thing we call and then the worship team is going to come up. We'll be like, yeah. What's a worship team? we're supposed to be worshiping the entire thing. And I know it's kind of, it's just a thing people say, but I think words matter. And like trying to retrain people to think of it differently, I think is important.
Yeah. No, I think that, yeah. Someone's like, I do like it sometimes when we say, continue worshiping in song or worshiping.
Yeah, I like that.
Now we're going to worship out of the word.
Yep.
More clarity here and there and stuff like that, I think helps. But yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. So. And I hear the objections. It's like, well, can't you just spit, the bones out and keep the meat, right? When it comes to Bethel and Hillsong and things like that. What's important to understand is that if your church is doing it correctly, and by correctly I mean legally, when you utilize songs, you pay for a license, right? You're getting that I think it's, what is it, CCLI license to utilize the song. And when you do that, the people that wrote the song, the people that produced it, the people that put it out, receive kickback from that. Again, if you're doing it legally. I don't want to support financially or any other way organizations like Bethel or Elevation Music or Hillsong, because I don't agree with the ministries. If I don't agree with the ministries, I'm not going to utilize the resources that those ministries put out. Right, it would be akin to, at this point, utilizing resources from fallen pastors. I don't see the need.
Yeah,
because of all of the other rich resources that we have, I don't see the need to do that. And I don't know, Jack. I guess some people might say I'm kind of a stickler on that, but I think to be consistent and to be kind of upright and discerning, I don't want my money going to something that I'm not signing off on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, I think there's a lot more to say to that, but I'll keep it to what Josh said, and I agree with that stance as well too. So.
Okay, so music is commanded. Music should be rooted in truth, right? It should preach truth. Last on the music here, music is a corporate. It's a corporate event, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be engaged with and accomplished by the people of God on the Lord's Day. And Jack, this one really flies into the face, I think, of a lot of modern evangelical churches today who view the music portion of the Lord's Day service as more of an experience, more of a concert, rather than a corporate event that we are all engaging in together. Mm-hmm. When we talk about, Jack, the difference between those two views, suss those out for our listeners and why we would say music is primarily something that should be understood corporately versus just a band up there doing their thing.
Yeah. I have seen recently a really good clip of the late Rich Mullins talking about this actually.
Ooh, Rich Mullins. Ragamuffin.
He says, hey, he's like, I appreciate y'all in coming to our concerts and hearing us play. But some of us don't know jack about really deeper issues.
And that sounds like something Rich Mullins would say.
Oh, yeah. Come on. And he's like, I would rather you. He's like, I'm not here to feed you. in the ways that you think you should be fed. Mm-hmm. That's for something that needs to be done by somebody who knows you and loves you and cares about you. That should be done mm-hmm. by your local church and your pastors.
Yeah.
And he said this clip, and I'm like, man, that's so refreshing to like hear him say that. And I wish he was around to say that way, way often to way more people, because I think that's the dynamic where I think there's such a bleed through line in how we get entertainment and how we're worshiping, and somewhat they're looking the same almost.
Yeah.
And you have to know the distinction that a band that you go and buy a ticket for, they're purely there for entertainment and to do what they do, not for anything really gratifying or uplifting to you. Although I'm sure they say like, we appreciate our fans and stuff like that. Right.
Sure. Sure.
But your local pastors, the people in your local church, the people who are singing with you, these hymns and psalms and spiritual songs are the ones who really care about you and your soul. And so I think it's not just you and your soul, but it's a holistic view of you. And part of that includes the fact that worship to God is very important.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a huge distinction, the entertainment factor versus the worshiping factor. And sometimes you could see that as some churches, we would say, I mean, just, you know, in our Instagrams little segments, sometimes they're indistinguishable.
Yeah.
And that's really disconcerting, to be quite honest.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think part of it is just the fact that your local church and the people in your local church that you, keywords, worship God with. Are very... they should be distinguishable from you going to a concert or you even going to a Christian band's concert and singing, even though, you know, trying to remember, gosh, what was it? I think my wife and I went to King's Kaleidoscope in Seattle.
Sure.
Very good songs.
Yeah.
A lot of them were like ripoffs of hymns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was great, but that doesn't take away from the fact that, King's Kaleidoscope does not know Jack.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. Sure. Sometimes.
That's not their role.
Yeah. That's just not their role. It's nice that they do that stuff. And I'm sure they're trying to honor the Lord and what they're doing, but they're still there for entertainment value versus a deeper relational corporate worship value.
Yeah. 100%. I agree with everything you just said. And that distinction between a concert entertainment experience versus a corporate worship, right? That's the distinction that we're talking about. And a lot of churches take the stance and want their time of music to be that of a concert, right? To be at that level and to have the purpose that the concert has, to lead, to create the environment, to perform, to have all of these things like a concert would. But the problem is they're doing the exact opposite of the point of worship in the Lord's Day service, right? Yeah. The point of worship in the Lord's Day service, the point of music, the instruments, those that are aiding, it's not that the music itself or the people using their skills that God has given them to play that music, they are not the focal point. In the concert, they are. They are there in the context of the Lord's Day to support and magnify and bolster up the voices of the gathered together people. Mm-hmm. That is the point of music within the Lord's Day service, right? If you were going to do that in a concert, if you went to a concert and the band said, okay, hey, I know you're here to listen to us. I know you're here to listen to our hits, but we're just going to be the backing track and we want all of you guys to sing our hits instead of us. You'd be like, this is the worst concert ever, right? I want my money back. I came to hear you. I came to hear you sing your hits because I like your voice and I like your things. And in a concert, absolutely, that's what we want. I'm not going to... you know, King's Kaleidoscope to hear me. I'm going to hear them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the context of the Lord's Day, that is absolutely the point of singing the word, mm-hmm. is that the voices of the people in unity are corporately with one voice singing truths that are rooted in the word of God for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying God. And the music that is there, the people that are leading the voices are there to accompany and bolster the voices of the people, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So like we have it backwards in our churches and that we're trying to be concerts instead of congregations. And that distinction is important because it's not about a performance. It's not about a concert. It's about the people of God raising their voices in unison to the glory of God. It should primarily be the voices of the people that is heard, not the instruments.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the point. That's the whole point of it. So music is commanded. It's commanded by God. He wants to be worshiped through and with music. That is something he desires. He wants his people to do that. Music has to be rooted in truth. It has to preach truth. It has to come from a source of truth. And it has to be corporate. It has to be together, the voices of the people singing in unison for the glory of God and not for for the sake of entertainment or a concert. Jack, anything left on music before we dive into reading the word?
No, I mean, we did have this kind of offshoot of, do you prefer hymns or modern songs?
Oh, that is the debate, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. And I'll say this and I'll throw it over to you on this.
Yeah.
I think that there, and again, it depends. Sometimes it's a generational thing. Sometimes it's an upbringing thing of overemphasizing and over spiritualizing one or the other. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't think because hymns are older that they're innately more worshipful or more spiritual or more truthful than modern songs. Mm. And I don't think that because a song was written in maybe the last 20 years that we should automatically disregard it because, well, it hasn't stood the test of time. Like, holy, holy, holy has been here since the dawn of creation, right? The angels themselves sing this hymn. So what else do we need, right? Again, I go back to our barometer. Is it truthful? Does it speak truth? Does it come from a source of truth?
Yeah.
And I would add one more, Jack, and then you can speak on any or all of this. Maybe it's just because I'm a musician, but like when I'm looking for music to integrate into the Lord's Day service, at the top, it's, are the words true?
Yeah.
Right. Second is it coming from a place of truth? Do I trust the source? And then third for me, which is not important as the first two, but still important, and I have like rejected songs because of this, is it singable?
Oh, yeah.
Does it aid and is it easy for the congregation to sing corporately together? Because there's a lot of songs that fit number one and number two that I'll listen to that if you tried to bring into a Lord's Day service, it just wouldn't work.
True. Yeah.
Right? And I like, I mean, there's like so many like heavy metal songs that I love that preach truth, that come from a source of truth, but are not singable for a congregation because it wasn't written for that purpose.
Yeah.
So there's actually something to be said about the way that the song is, excuse me, the way that it is constructed. Mm-hmm. Some songs are I would say aid to corporate singing and some detract from it. And that should be a factor when choosing those things. Is the congregation going to be able to sing this together easily? Because there's some old hymns that preach truth, say wonderful things, and have a melody that is from the depths of Hades.
Yeah.
That it is unsingable, Jack. And the congregation is bouncing all over, tripping all over themselves, trying to sing this tune. Mm-hmm. And it detracts from the point.
Yeah.
Even though it's true.
Yeah,
comments on any or all of that?
No, I think that's a good summary point. Although I do prefer hymns. That's just my own personal preference.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Hymns are great.
There you go. Anyway, that's about it.
So. Jack, any recommendations? I've got a couple. Any recommendations for folks that are maybe wanting to look into some good corporate music for the Lord's Day other than hymns? Jack and I both we both sign off on hymns wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I think, I mean, there's some discerning stuff that needs to happen too in, I think, what you're saying, Josh, and just that I think the big thing that I'm seeing more that our church is actually looking at is when we talk about the people of the persons, excuse me, not the people, the persons of the Trinity. When we sing about them and when we sing about the acts that they do, are they correctly portraying those acts right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we have had some, I would say, some otherwise pretty solid groups of different types of musical ministries that are pretty well known in Reform world, but we would not sing a song or two because it sounds a little bit too much like eternal subordination of the Son.
Oh, sure. Stuff. Yeah.
So that's what I would just say, caution people, because it may sound all well and true, but sometimes you sneak that in and we're just not going to do that. So, lately we've been really focusing. It's like, I think somebody brought it up at our preachers and leaders kind of Thursday nights that we do. And it's like, why don't we sing this song? It's like, remember this verse? Yeah.
Yeah.
Smacks of ESS, guys. It's like, oh,
sure.
So
sure.
But no, I would say, I mean, the Gettys are really good. I like the Getty stuff.
Gettys are great, man.
I like, gosh, what's his name? Matt Boswell. I like his stuff. Oh, yeah.
Boswell put some good stuff out. Shane and Shane put some good stuff out. Mm-hmm. They're like, they put out like two hymns albums, great renditions. Sovereign Grace Music has some good stuff. City of Light. I'm a big City of Light fan. There's a new one on the block called, what are they? Indelible Grace that I have heard some good things. I'm pretty sure that's,
I have not heard of that name.
Don't
before.
Quote me. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I want to make I don't want to sign off 100% because I might be recommending a heretic. But I think I think it's called Indelible Grace, putting out some real good stuff as well. So those are just some recommendations that you guys can check out when it comes to songs that are written for the purpose of corporate worship for that particular purpose. So, Jack, I think we should call an audible.
Okay.
Because we are at 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think reading of the word and the importance of reading the word in the Lord's Day service needs to be its own ep at this point.
Yeah. And I read the word somewhat semi often at my local church. And we can deep dive into that and prep
that
a little bit more. Or else this is going to be like a double.
This will be an hour 20. This will be,
This is not
too long.
This will not. This is like the Big Lebowski. This aggression will not stand, man.
Yeah, okay? That's right. Like, that's right. Yeah. The beatings will continue until morale improves. So let's call it here. Corporate worship, singing the word. It is important. Mm-hmm. It's commanded, rooted in truth, and it should be done through and with the voices of the congregation. Make sure you be doing that in your local churches. Don't fall into the trap of the culture of making it a performance or a concert. Let those voices ring out, man. There is nothing sweeter. Like, honestly, one of my favorite times in the Lord's Day service is when that music drops out, usually at the end, and you hear the voices of the people, and I'm like, dude, this is a taste of what heaven is going to be like. It is the best. It's the best. But Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Yeah, if you appreciate the work that Josh and I do here during the series and the liturgy series and the other series and body of work that we've done here at the Reformatory, trying to make the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the sociables, if you will. Yes, the dastardly things that we are hooked to. You can follow us on the metaverse, the Facebook, if you will, the Instagram. Mm-hmm. Goes well with chocolate and marshmallow, like we have talked about. Or the sociable formerly known as Twitter X.
X.
All at the tag at Reformatory Pod. You could drop us a direct message, episode ideas, comments, questions, concerns, everything of the above. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might follow the Reformatory on other platforms and keep in touch with what we do with devas. Yeah,
that's right. Well, if you would like to watch this podcast as well, listen to it, head over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say, share it with a friend maybe that you know enjoys the music aspect of the Lord's Day service, or you know, don't passive aggressively send it to your song leaders, please. just aggressively do it. No, I'm kidding. Let's not use the Reformatory as a battering ram. Okay.
Yeah.
Prefer that. But yeah, share it with folks. We really appreciate that. You can like this podcast, rate this podcast, review it on Apple and Spotify. Helps the podcast get out to more people, and associates us with like-minded podcasts in the little recommendations tab. We like that. We like seeing that. Last but not least, we've got a Patreon. And for $5 a month, that's it. Not even a Starbucks coffee at this point. It's cheaper than Starbucks. Mm-hmm. You could get bonus episodes every single week. You could have this episode early. And you get access to the Reformatory chat and any other exclusive content that we post onto there. That could all be yours for a fiver. $5 a month, a $5 holla. And if you choose to do that, our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.